again. We've looked at all kinds of different images of God throughout the month of August. And we're going to kind of come together this Sunday, getting our hearts, getting our minds ready to celebrate communion with one another by looking at a story from Jesus' life and a couple of the things that we can glean from that. This comes from John chapter 6. It comes at a time in Jesus' ministry when He's really becoming a strong friend to His disciples. He's walking with them all through all kinds of situations, providing for them in all kinds of ways. It comes in a time when they're really recognizing that He is the Son of God. And there's something more to Him than just being a powerful teacher. It comes at a special time of year, as we'll look at. And it comes with an illustration of just how abundant God's love is. That when we don't even know what to ask God for, God already has a plan and is providing in ways that we probably could never dream of asking. It's a story that's probably going to be familiar to many. In this particular Bible, it's entitled Jesus Feeds the 5,000. But again, even though it may be familiar, I encourage you to listen to it as if you were listening to it for the first time. And if it's one you're listening to for the first time, that's going to be even easier. So, from John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed Him because they saw the miraculous signs He had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside. He sat down with His disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up, He saw a great crowd coming toward Him. And He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test Him, for He already had in mind what He was going to do. Philip answered Him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far is that going to go among so many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down," because there was plenty of grass in that place. And the men sat down, and about 5,000 of them. And Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with fish. When they had all had enough to eat, He said to His disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and they filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." May God add His blessing to the reading, to the hearing, and more importantly, the continued coming alive of His Word in our lives. So a short time after all of these things that Jesus had been teaching His disciples, a short time after some of them had even begun to confess their faith in Him, Jesus crosses over to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. You'll remember from some of the other stories that I've told you about the Sea of Galilee, it's a sea where the weather changes quickly and storms come up out of nowhere. It's a story that's planted in the midst of some of those stormy stories as well. Jesus climbs up onto the bank. He doesn't go out into the water to teach this time. Instead, He goes up onto this hillside. Now picture this area of what is now northern Israel. Is a barren land. You can see the mountains. You can see the sand. But yet, on these hills, just along the side of the seashore, is lush, green, grass that's filled with abundant life. if you will. And Jesus gathers together His disciples like a shepherd. He takes them up on this mountainside and He begins to teach to them in a new way. This time He doesn't tell them one story after another, but He invites them to become a part of the story. He looks up the hill and here comes all these people. The Gospels say there were 5,000 men, but others, experts who study culture, who study those parables, who study those accounts, say there were probably many more people than that. Because those in that day wouldn't have even been counting the women and children that were gathered there. But not one of them went unnoticed by Jesus. And so He turns to His disciples and He begins to teach. He picks Philip out from among them and He says, "So what are we going to do about all this? How are we going to feed all these guests that are coming over?" John's account today says that He did this to test Philip, to test the disciples. Not to test them in a way to see if they would fail, but to test them in a way that we would test somebody in a classroom. To give them a chance to apply the things that they'd learn. To give them a chance to exercise their own faith and their own understanding of God. And all Philip sees is the impossible. He sees it realistically. He says, "Jesus, I don't know what we're going to do because it's going to take 8 months' wages to buy enough food for each one of them to just have a bite." Suddenly, out of the group of disciples, we hear another call. "Well, here's this little kid. We don't know where he came from. He certainly wasn't counted among the men that were there. But he says, 'Here, I've got 5 loaves of fish. Here's 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. What can you do with these?'" Jesus isn't surprised by it. John's already said that He knew what He was going to do. He says to His disciples, "Just go ahead and tell everybody to sit down." Some of the gospel writers say they gathered them together in groups here and there, all over the hillside. And Jesus takes this offering of this little boy and He offers it up to a God who He knows is abundant. And He gives thanks to God for the gift that's been presented. And He says, "God, do what only You can do with it." And so He says to His disciples, "Now go ahead and pass this out." And can't you see the disciples as they start to pass the bread out? Just tearing off the little tiny corners, trying to stretch it as far as it goes. Just trying to find a way to make it all last. But somewhere along the line, they realize that people can have as much as they want and there's still going to be enough. Because John says people got all they wanted to eat. Nobody went away hungry that day. And what comes... And is that the end of the story? Do they have just enough food for the people that are there? How much food did they have? Was there just enough? There was what? I heard it out here somewhere. Leftovers. There was leftovers. This is like Thanksgiving, folks. Everybody got all they wanted, probably ate too much, and there was still leftovers. There was enough for each one of the disciples to have their own basket. There were 12 baskets full of leftovers to provide food for the road that lies ahead. Because God gives us what we need for the road that lies ahead as well as for the moment that we're living in. Because God is a friend who knows what abundant living is all about. Of course, woven through this story is the reminder that God's love and grace is about more than bread. It's about more than the physical needs. It's about meeting every need deep down inside of us, some of the ones that we don't even know that are there. That God will provide even when we don't know what to ask. That God will be there each and every step of the way. Today we come together, celebrating not the end of vacation Bible school, not the impending end of summer, but God's faithfulness in teaching us all the things that we need to know right when we need to know them. And inviting us, remembering God's constant invitation to come to the table, to share more than bread and juice with one another, but to fellowship with God and one another in ways that we could never dream of asking. Because when we come to the table, we remember that God is present in so many ways, in so many levels, binding us together by the work of His Holy Spirit, not only with one another, but with all of those down through the ages who share in the blessing of God's presence with us. Binding us together with those that have taught us so much through the years that sometimes we miss in our hearts. Reminding us that even in the loneliest moments of our lives, we are never alone. Even in the most impossible moments of our life, there's nothing that's impossible with God. That God invites us to come to the altar. God invites us to come to Him in prayer. God invites us to come to the communion table with one another, just as we are, trusting as children. But Jesus tells us in so many ways in the Scriptures that we need to become like little children in order to live by faith. In a simple way, He's saying that we need to trust. We need to trust that everything we need is going to be right there. All we have to do is be willing to receive, willing to enjoy, willing to share with one another. When we come to the table, we remember the story. We remember that we are created in the image of God, just like all the rest of creation, all the rest of the world that we live in. But that we're created just a little bit differently than a lot of creation. We're created with the ability to know God and to reason and to share God and to have authority in the world that we live in. To have the ability to relate with one another and to relate with others in different ways. When we come to the table, we remember that the gospel, that the Bible makes it clear that sin gets in the way of our relationship with God. It gets in the way of our relationship with others. But that God is able to overcome all of those sins, all of those trespasses, all those times we've trespassed on God's territory, all those times we've trespassed on the territories of others, God's willing to forgive. All we have to do is lay it down in order to pick up the new things that God offers us every day. The Bible tells us what makes this possible. It reveals us the story of the living Christ, God in the flesh, God with us, born out into the world with not even a bed for His head, not even a room at the inn, but in a manger. A place fit for a horse, and a place fit for a donkey, and a place fit for a cow. He invites us. He invites Christ to be born into this place and to come alive out into the world. And Christ grows up, teaching and healing and caring and offering us lesson after lesson about life. But so much more as well. Because He comes to that point where He's willing to even lay down His life. So that we can take up the abundant life that God offers us freely every day. So Jesus dies on the cross. But even that's not the end of the story, because God makes it clear that not even death can separate us from the love of God. Because Jesus rises up on resurrection morning. 3 days later, everybody shows up at the tomb and it's empty. There's nothing there but the clothes He was buried in. And Jesus begins to appear to the disciples and to the rest of the world. And God pours out the Holy Spirit. And it spreads not only around the world, not only into neighboring communities, but all down through the ages. As we've heard and seen shared in so many ways today, continues to touch our lives today. And so God still stands there saying, come. Come and share in fellowship with Me and with one another. Come and remember not only what I've done, but remember what I'm doing. And remember that because of who You are and because I call You My own, because You are My precious children, you can remember my promise for the road ahead, that I can provide in so many abundant ways. And so as we continue to remember, we remember that God invites people of all ages and all places and all denominations to come to this table. It's Jesus who extends the invitation to come and gives us the opportunity to say yes, so that we can share in that fellowship with one another. Well, let's join our hearts together in prayer as we ask God's blessing on this time and on ourselves and on these elements together. And as I come to an end, we will close that prayer once again with the Lord's Prayer. Good and gracious God, we thank You for the abundant ways that You provide for each and every one of us. We ask Your forgiveness for the times that we take Your abundant grace for granted, and we overlook the ways that You are at work among us. We overlook the opportunities to experience Your love by letting others share with us. We overlook the opportunities to share with Your love with others in serving them. And Lord, as You offer us Your forgiveness, we pray that You'd open up our hearts and our minds and our spirits in a fresh, new way to the invitations that You give us to share in Your abundant life every day. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on each and every one of us gathered here. Help us to recognize Your presence in a special way this morning as we share in the gift of Holy Communion, as we share with one another. We ask that You pour out Your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice. We join with Jesus in giving thanks to You because You are an abundant God. We ask You to bless them and multiply them, and to bless and multiply the ways Your grace works in our lives as we go forward with You. We pray that You'd pour out Your Holy Spirit on Your church, gathered in all times and all places as we worship together this morning, giving thanks for who You are, giving thanks for what You've done, but looking forward to the ways that we continue to journey with You each day of our life. And we thank You, Lord, that even in death there's nothing that can separate us from You, that the adventure goes on and You come to us in fresh new ways there as well. And we pray that You'd pour out Your Holy Spirit on Your church and make us one. Let the barriers, let the walls, let the trespasses fall away, that we might be united in Christ and speak out with the authority and share Your love with the authority that You've intended us to. We thank You, Lord, for the ways that You teach us in life. We thank You, Lord, for that as You walk through this world, You taught Your disciples in many ways, and in doing so, You taught us, the disciples in this time and in this place. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that You'd be with us as we pray with one another that prayer that You taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The abundant gifts of God for the people of God. The abundant grace, the abundant love of God poured out for each of us to share with so many others. Again, this table is open and all are welcome to come. So we'll invite folks on this side to this section to come first, and again, come down this aisle, and I'll tear off a piece of bread, and then you can dip that in the cup of grape juice that's here. Then we'll invite the middle section to come across and down, and exiting out, everybody exiting over here. And then finally, the section all the way to my left to come across the back, down, and back over. So come. All are welcome.